Next item, please.
Item 415, accept and appropriate an additional $30,000 from the Oregon Department of Transportation Traffic Safety Division Fiscal Year 2017 Speed Enforcement Grant Program for sworn personnel overtime reimbursement.
Very good. Is there anybody from the Bureau here? Very good. Sorry. I was too fast there. Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. Sergeant Ty Engstrom, Portland Police Bureau Traffic Division. Mainly here if you have any questions or anything, or if you need some basics on the grant.
So could you basically explain the reimbursement? It's my understanding this is an overtime reimbursement. Can you explain how that works?
Sure. This is a grant that we've had each year for a number of years, and it's used to add enforcement on officers' days off. You know, normal work days, they come in, they do whatever we need them to do, responding to the city's needs for traffic-related investigations. But then if they choose on their day off, we have certain shifts that we can put out there to increase speed enforcement and distracted driver enforcement and things of that nature along what we've described as high crash corridors. So working with PBOT and ODOT, we have listed out a number of streets that have a lot of crashes, fatalities, and different things like that, and we try and focus our efforts in those areas. So instead of the city having to pay for the bill of bringing those officers in on overtime to staff those areas and increase visibility and education and enforcement, ODOT has given us money to allow us to pay those officers and sergeants overtime to be able to do that on their own time. So originally they gave $15,000. ODOT decided that they had some more money that they could appropriate, and so they have offered us another $30,000 to increase the patrol efforts in those high crash corridors.
Very good. Commissioner Fish?
I have just a question that's tangentially related to this. So I have a big concern about people who are speeding. And I think there are some streets in our city that are getting less safe, not more safe. And I think we have to be tougher with enforcement. But I'm also concerned about other types of behavior on our roads. And I just want to ask you, are the police actively enforcing the laws against garbage trucks that are parking against traffic, blocking lanes, doing U-turns at intersection, other things? Does that fall within the scope of your authority to enforce the code?
I haven't heard of that specific complaint in recent times. I'm actually in charge of the Track It program,
who at the police would handle that?
That is me. And if you have a traffic-related complaint of any kind, then I'm the one who...
Well, I live in a neighborhood that becomes an occupied zone in the morning with garbage trucks, and they think nothing of going against the traffic, U-turns and intersections, backing up, blocking single lanes rather than pulling to the curb, engaging in what seems like pretty questionable behavior. And I'm currently not clear whose job it is to enforce that, the law.
The traffic division would be the ones to go to. We deal with all things traffic related, and we could send an officer to those areas that are having constant problems, or we can also communicate with the garbage companies to work out what better scenarios we can have to resolve the conflicts. As you might recall, a few years ago, probably 2-3 years ago, we had a pretty bad crash right here in downtown, just up the block, where someone was very, very severely injured by a garbage truck that made an illegal turn.
But we had that incident. We've had some cyclists that
correct,
fatalities with garbage trucks, and I'm not sure this is on our
radar, and I'll follow up with you offline.
Sure.
I'd like to get the data. I'd like to better understand what the law is. But it was not my understanding that our code gave garbage truck operators an exemption from the rules of the road. And in my neighborhood, they do not follow the rules of the road. And I think it's partly because they're stressed out and they have to do a lot of pickups. But as a result, they create a lot of safety hazards in the – and I live in Goose Hollow, so it's already a pretty dense and congested area. And it seems to me this is a safety issue that we haven't given enough attention to.
Sure, I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Yeah, if I could just add to that, Commissioner Fish, this sounds both like an enforcement issue, but also a contractual issue. If there is a contract in place with the garbage haulers and they're not doing it the way it needs to be done, then that's a conversation we need to have with them globally as well. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. I've raised this issue before, and that's the concern about the amount of overtime that officers are doing. We know that with the shortage of police, we've been hearing that people have been pulled from specialty units to just to patrol the districts. How do you, as the person in charge of this unit, decide, first of all, should the officer be on overtime on our dime so that we can just cover the basic services rather than this extra? And secondly, how do you monitor that an officer isn't working 80 hours a week, 100 hours a week, however many it might be, to the extent that they're then exhausted for the next regular shift?
Sure. Great questions. We have relatively small groups of officers that the sergeants are in charge of. It's called their detail, and it's up to that sergeant to keep an eye on their detail and make sure that they're getting adequate rest between their shifts and that they're not overworking themselves. And we all help each other as well and keep tabs on how people are doing as far as that's concerned. It is absolutely true that with lower staffing numbers, we've lost several people from the traffic division. And on top of that, all of our officers within the traffic division now work one day a week. That's 25% of their time as East Precinct backfill, where they are not out doing normal traffic-related patrol. They may come across some traffic-related things, but their main primary responsibility is then doing 911 response and going to regular police calls. So you're right. Staffing is short. With this grant, they require a certain number of match time hours on straight time, which is a benefit to the city because even though we're paying them those straight time hours, they're out there working in the high crash corridors. So the city is helping in a way to provide the match time for this grant and patrol on our dime during the regular business hours. As far as the overtime, they're not required to do it. No one is required to it. There are some officers that, you know, like to do it and want to come in and do the extra overtime, and some that, you know, they want to have their full weekend, or maybe they do a couple hours at the end of their shift instead of a bigger chunk to take up another day. So it's up to them if they want to work it or not. My job is to look at the areas of patrol where we're having these crashes, make sure that we're giving adequate patrol time to the different locations, and then to select the times of days and make sure that that's all approved when they want to work those spots. So I put out patrols for specific locations, specific times and days that they can sign up for. But then also if they say, well, this area's got some issues and I'd like to work that area, then I judge those based on whether or not we need the help in that area at that time.
So you and the chief don't mandate anybody to work overtime to fill the shifts?
No, that's different. Not these particular shifts. For this grant, that's what I'm referring to.
No, I'm looking at the big picture overall.
Big picture overall, there are some things that people get mandated to work. For example, the traffic division, we had our days off canceled on Saturday, April 22nd, for the large march that we had downtown here for the science march. So everyone that would have normally had a scheduled day off, they were ordered to come in and work. Same thing will happen again on Monday for May 1st. So there are some of those events that take place. And we recognize that that's going to put a burden upon the officers, and so we don't push them to work these other overtime things as much or anything like that. And we keep an eye on whether they're working too much or if they're doing it appropriately.
And Matt, I assume as the new police, well, still a bit new police commissioner, that you would be looking at...
I'm aging rapidly, Commissioner.
I know. It's a hard job. When it's published who the top earning city employees are, often somebody other than the police bureau, the chief, is making a very large amount of money for doing a very large amount of overtime. And so that's been a concern of mine for the times I've been here is are particular officers really pushing the limits and there should be some kind of constraints. The other question I have for you, though, is we get these grants often, these kinds of grants. If we were fully staffed, would we still need overtime to cover these kinds of patrolling?
I think if you look at the crash data and the amount of traffic fatalities that we have each year and the city's emphasis that's been placed on Vision Zero, which I help oversee, we have a desire to reduce the number of traffic fatalities down to zero. That's what Vision Zero is all about. We do that through enforcement, education, and infrastructure and design of the roadways. And so there's lots of different parts to that. And even if we had more staffing, I think that there, honestly, could never be enough of us getting out there, interacting with the public. We don't mandate the officers have to write a ticket. We want them to get out there and work. They have to work on these grants, and they need to go out there and make stops and contact people that are doing inappropriate behavior on the roadways. But we don't mandate that they have to write a ticket. They can write a ticket and be done with it, or they can write a ticket and send someone to a class, or they can write a warning, a written warning if they choose. It's up to the officer's discretion what's best in that particular scenario.
In the grant, is there a quota, a number of pullovers they're required to do?
There's not a quota. They want us to be contacting regular people or a regular amount of people throughout the time that we're on the grant. Obviously, if you are working the grant for several hours and you haven't contacted a single person, that's not a good scenario. But they don't say you have to have this number of tickets or this number of warnings. They count enforcement contacts.
Uh-huh.
And they want to know how many enforcement contacts, which could be a ticket in a class or a warning or whatever. And they want us to, try and get two or three, as close to three of those as possible an hour. But that could be any variation. That could be a written warning which doesn't go on your record and is just a contact to say that's inappropriate behavior and this is why and shouldn't do that.
And is there any kind of demographic information about the people pulled over that you monitor to make sure that we're not targeting particular races or backgrounds?
Sure. The Portland Police Bureau keeps stops data collection on a regular basis. Every time you make a traffic stop, the officer is required to go through and fill out a mask form on the computer that collects the reason you stopped them and the demographics that you observed prior to the stop, whether it was male, female, what race and age and all that, and then at the stop, what those same demographics were. So I can't speak for every officer, but when the traffic division is out there, and for example, if we're working speed enforcement on Highway 30 at the St. John's Bridge or something, we're working speed enforcement, and you can't tell from 900 feet away who's driving the vehicle, and we're just looking for the people that are speeding. Now, when you're up closer and you're on a busy street where you're looking for someone talking on the cell phone or not wearing their seatbelt or something like that, sometimes you will see the demographics of whoever's driving the car prior to the stop. But for the most part, we don't know that a lot of the times before the stop. So the Bureau does keep track of that on a regular basis. Captain Mike Krebs is over the traffic division. He gets reports about stops data collection, and he analyzes that, and he and I have conversations about it frequently. So that's definitely something we're keeping an eye on. Now, specifically to this grant and when those our officers are working on this grant, I suppose that we could probably take that apart. It gets a little more difficult, and that would be up to our Strategic Services Division.
Well, besides that, I really would like you to be careful, no matter whose dollars are paying for it. That's a very good answer to my question.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Very good. Any further questions before we take public testimony? Great. If you could have a seat, we'll bring up some public testimony. How many people do we have signed up?
We have four people signed up.
Very good.
Three, please come on up, are Mimi Gurman, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, and Star Stoffer.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Mimi Gurman, and I created testimony today in two parts. One is through a poem for today, for this issue, and the rest of it will be in non-poetic form. The poem is called Sacred Is. Hidden in the mystery of this empty glass, sacred is hidden in the mystery of this empty glass, or is it sipping memories beneath spring rains? The unfolding of a fern, or the call beyond the clouds of an osprey circling? When I cup my hands together, I hold everything sacred between them, even in this gardened hell. Sacred is the slow unraveling of a poem, or living in a tent under a bridge, dodging the rain, and the hand that gives to the hand that needs. Sacred is consciousness, woven into the mat of earth upon which we are born, and it is a blue heaven conveying a dream to a child. My appeal to your heart, counsel, is that you comprehend and act for the sacred, to live the sacred into being. Divert your gaze from the gas attacks in Syria, from the terror of Israeli apartheid, from the abhorrent starvation in Yemen, in South Sudan, in Somalia, in Nigeria, from elections in France or the Paris attacks, from the escalation of ISIS in Turkey, or was it Tunisia or Kuala Lumpur, Morocco or Tangiers, from the mother of all in Afghanistan to genocide in Rwanda, Russian tampering, or Vietnam and Iraq, look beyond D.C. Yes, look here, look here. These guards posted at the doors of this sandbox, these sentries, these sentinels protecting private rules of engagement, where nothing is sacred except the sand I toss into the air. Sacrilege is the golden egg. Look here into the eyes that hold fear so close, and into the hearts of those who held on, and hear the whizzing of bullets that soar in their dreams, plucking out children like feathers or fleas, and bathe in the tears of the mothers left broken and fallen by cops who walk brazen and free, and see how the sacred has left this city, a wasteland of what could have been sacred. My testimony for today in the conversational is about overtime as the golden egg. We know that we have, first of all, Commissioner Fritz, I really respected your questions, and I think that before I run out of time, I would like to ask that instead of voting for this today, that you collect the information on were or are these stops in these different areas of enforcement, especially overtime enforcement, were they racist-based? Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But surely, as that officer was saying, they have the records on that, and I think that that needs to be looked at before any kind of vote can happen, and I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Charles Bridge Grant Johnson, and I'm glad that we had this public safety segment brought to us by the best of Engstrom and Engstrom and Engstrom. I think there's three Engstroms in the police department now. It's been a while since I testified on a police a grant. Obviously, take all ODOT's money. Although whenever ODOT comes up, we have the question of how well the city and the Oregon Department of Transportation are interfacing on not disturbing people who are trying to stay alive in their tents. Some have even moved back to the boulders under the 205 overpass. On this particular issue, it was interesting that the Vision Zero came out from Officer or Sergeant Engstrom's mouth before we got to it. So I think that there's still room for a fusion improvement of how what's available from ODOT affects our plans for the lethality we're seeing in traffic on Outer Division and Southeast and stuff like that. But, then the overtime question. And the fact that some people are, as patrol people, are more, earning more than the chief of police is really problematic for a lot of citizens, not just people who are highly focused on the police like myself. But we have situations where some officers, the only stress they have is the Apple Store for their overtime. And then we have others that are doing actual public safety work. So I hope that as you age rapidly in this police commissioner job, you'll find a way to look at that. I really, I don't know even for sure if the police, Portland Police Association, managing the other overtime that's not traffic, if that is included in the salary numbers we see for these $200,000 police officers. Is it because Apple pays to the Portland Patrol Association, which manages to then get the money into a city cut paycheck? So this particular agenda item, yes, take the ODOT money, get these people where people are dying in traffic accidents. Let's also talk about the quality of the officers. These officers generally have never pulled their gun, but we have Officer Andrew Hurst, who has killed two people during his career. That's an anomaly that this city needs to build the tools to address so that killer cops aren't a part of the Portland police inventory, and they know about de-escalation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning, Star Staffer. So I have a few concerns about giving the police any more money. But in specifics to this, going back to the accident that happened that we were discussing earlier in regards to that officer, was he working overtime? How many hours a week had he put in that week for overtime? Just out of curiosity. And officers that are working traffic division specifically, there are many ways that an accident can happen. It's, you know, driver negligence, weather, being tired, being impaired because of drug use or alcohol use, distractions via cell phone. I see cops driving with their cell phones all the time. I see cops texting while they're driving. I know that officers are tired while they're behind the wheel. I'm not really sure with the way that the police department has shown itself to operate right now that they need more money to be enforcing anything on anyone. And this whole thing where people are speeding, we can't see their race, oh, come on. We weren't born yesterday. Police profile based on race all the time. Now we're going to have more people out there. And what areas are these officers going to be put in? Where? Which areas? Are they going to be in Northeast? Are they going to be in Southeast? Are they going to be in Northwest? Because depending on the area and the majority race of that neighborhood, I'm curious where you plan to station these officers. I mean, are they really going to be used for traffic and keeping the roadway safe? Or is this really more of a direct policing thing that they're going to be doing with community members? Are they going to be pulling over kids? Are they going to be looking at jaywalkers? What exactly are they going to be doing with this money? Because if they're just going to be sitting in their cars watching traffic, then one thing that I'd like, if that's really just the case, I want them drug tested. I want to know how many hours they're sleeping. Who are they to be out there patrolling anything if they're exhausted drivers, if they're under the influence of drugs? I mean, how do we know? I mean, we know because that officer got in that accident, he wasn't drug tested. Most people, when they have an accident on the job, are drug tested. So who are we to be putting these officers out there to enforce traffic when I see them breaking traffic laws all the time? Well, who's watching them? Some of that money needs to be allocated to be watching them. I want to see logs. I want to see hours of overtime. I want to know what the health issues are in regards to this. Because I'm out there on the road. I don't want a cop pulling me over because he's made impaired decisions. I mean, people get shot in traffic stops. Look at Philando Castile. And you're putting more cops out there. Yuck. I mean, yuck. Ugh.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fish, if you would like to get together to talk about the Rose Festival and what went down, none of us had anything to do with it, but I'm happy to talk with you about our defunding Fleet Week if you want to do that.
And the last person, hello.
Chris sure. Ramsey.
Hi. Hi, I'm Chris Ramsey. I'm still a nervous new speaker.
No worries.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Just a few things. I was listening, and I found it pretty repugnant that we're sitting here pretending that the goal is to save you guys $30,000 by funneling this to the ODOT grant when last month we asked for $2 million for live bullets. So I just wanted to acknowledge that it might not be as just benevolent as it seems. They didn't have any problem coming up here and asking you guys for millions of dollars for bullets, but let ODOT do this. And like you said, Commissioner Fritz, I was really concerned about where are the enforcement patrols? Are they documenting and logging those things, different neighborhoods that have high increased risk for traffic, and how are those things tracked to where if there is a pattern of racial discrimination, it can be established and then addressed? And I can just think of a million things that ODOT could do with $30,000 besides police overtime and sweeping homeless people. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Was there any further public testimony on this
That's
item?
All who signed up.
Very good. Commissioners, any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Sergeant Engstrom and the Traffic Division for the good work they're doing. And high crash corridors really know no boundaries in the city. They are pretty much everywhere in the city. And I particularly appreciate the attention Traffic Division has been paying to Outer Southeast Division lately. And I appreciate the Traffic Division working very closely with the Bureau of Transportation on implementing, making Vision Zero, zero traffic fatalities or serious crashes a reality. So thank you. Aye.
Fritz.
Obviously, I'm very committed to Vision Zero, and getting extra money for extra enforcement is very important to me. I believe, I haven't read the latest assessment from the compliance officer on the Department of Justice settlement, but I believe the previous one, there was concern about the tracking system that the police bureau is implementing and how that's going. There are four individual officers, so that, I think, is underway. I found it interesting that many of the testifiers consistently referred to officers as he. When I was reading through the item that was pulled, there was no reference to what the gender of the police officer was. So we don't have as many female officers as men, but we do have some absolutely fantastic female officers, and so just wanted to point that out, that there's all kinds of people that we're trying to recruit and attract to our police bureau to help the bureau reflect more about the people, that the community that they serve. Aye.
Point of privilege, could I have the gentleman come back up?
I just wanted to clarify on a couple of things that may have answered some of your questions, concerns that were brought up briefly. They were asking about what areas that we were patrolling. It's not based on crime statistics, but it's based on crash data. And so streets such as Division and Powell and Gleason and Stark and Burnside, as well as all the major freeways within the city limits, I-5, 205, I-84, all those, as well as Lombard and Barber and Bertha. So it goes around, not Bertha, but BHH, goes around the whole city. And it's just the major crash corridor. So hopefully that clarified that.
And are they all state highways? Or does any of this money go to patrol streets that are not a state highway?
Let me think on which ones are actually...
I don't think
Stark...
Yeah, and Gleason, they're not.
And Gleason but Burnside.
So you are allowed to use it where the need
is. Yeah, it's based on crash data. So some of them are dual purpose. I mean, they're city streets, but they're also a public highway. But not all of them are.
Thank you. That's good clarification.
Yeah, so some are, some aren't. And then as far as sleep deprivation, I know Captain Krebs has already begun some conversations with other agencies on what they do. And so we're working on that as well to try and make sure our officers are being taken care of. As far as not working too much and to the point of exhaustion and things like that. And then what we're looking for on the grant, obviously this is a speed grant, but the stats that I'm tracking personally for the DAT sheets that they have to turn in are speed, cell phone use, no seatbelt, failed yield right away, some things like that are dangerous behaviors. And then we just have another category where if they wrote tickets for, you know, equipment violations or license violations, things like that, they fall into that category. And then you asked about quotas or anything like that. I just want to make sure we are clear that, you know, there wasn't a specific quota number of tickets, but we encourage them to try and contact at least 3 people per hour, and it's up to them whether they do tickets or warnings or whatever. Hopefully
that
would clarify.
Yes, that's very helpful.
Any further questions? Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Sergeant. Your vote.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you for coming in.